I could feel everyone's eyes on me. I wondered where Jeremiah was now. Was he behind me, ready to silence me with a knife? Or had he made his escape? Either way, I couldn't say a word. The Sicarii did not work alone. If I gave up Jeremiah, I'd be dead by a Sicarii dagger before the Sabbath. "He can't tell you, Centurion, even if he knew," said Joshua, who had moved back to Maggie's side. "For it is written in our holy books that no Jew shall rat out another Jew, regardless of what a weasel one or the other shall be." "Is that written?" Maggie whispered. "Is now," Joshua whispered back. "Did you just call me a weasel?" I asked. "Behold!" A woman at the front of the crowd was pointing to the dead soldier. Another screamed. The corpse was moving. Justice turned toward the commotion, and I took the opportunity to look around for Jeremiah. He was still there behind me, only a few people back, but he was staring gape-jawed at the dead soldier, who was currently standing up and dusting off his tunic. Joshua was concentrating intently on the soldier, but there was none of the sweating or trembling that we had seen at the funeral in Jaffa. To his credit, Justice, although he seemed frightened at first, stood his ground as the corpse ambled stiff-legged toward him. The other soldiers were backing away, along with all of the Jews, except Maggie, Joshua, and me. "I need to report an attack, sir," the once-dead soldier said, performing a very jerky Roman salute.
You're dead," Justice said.
"Am not."
"You have knife wounds all over your chest."
The soldier looked down, touched the wounds gingerly, then looked back to his commander.
"Seems I have been nicked, sir."
"Nicked?
Nicked? You've been stabbed half a dozen times. You're dead as dirt."
"I don't think so, sir. Look, I'm not even bleeding."
"That's because you've bled out, son. You're dead."
The soldier began to stagger now, started to fall, and caught himself. "I am feeling a little woozy. I was attacked last night, sir, near where they are building that Greek's house."
"There, he was there."
He pointed to me.
"And him, too."
He pointed to Joshua.
"And the little girl." "These boys attacked you?"
I could hear scuffling behind me.
"No, not them. That man over there."
The soldier pointed to Jeremiah, who looked around like a trapped animal. Everyone was so intent on watching the miracle of the talking corpse that they had frozen in place. The killer couldn't push his way through the crowd to get away.
"Arrest him," Justice commanded.
But his soldiers were equally stunned by the resurrection of their cohort. "Now that I think of it," the dead soldier said, "I do remember being stabbed." No outlet from the crowd. Jeremiah turned toward his accuser and drew a blade from under his shirt. This seemed to snap the other soldiers out of their trance, and they began advancing on the killer from different angles, swords drawn. At the sight of the blade, everyone had moved away from the killer, leaving him isolated with no path open but toward us.
"No master but God!" he shouted.
Then three quick steps, and he leapt towards us, his knife raised. I dove on top of Maggie and Joshua, hoping to shield them, but even as I waited for the sharp pain between my shoulder blades, I heard the killer scream, then a grunt, then a protracted moan that ran out of the air with a pathetic squeal. I rolled over to see Gaius Justus Gallicus, with his short sword sunk to the hilt in the solar plexus of Jeremiah. The killer had dropped his knife and was standing there looking at the Roman's sword hand, looking somewhat offended by it. He sank to his knees. Justice yanked the sword free, then wiped the blade on Jeremiah's shirt before stepping back and letting the killer fall forward.
"That was him," the dead soldier said. "Bastard killed me."
He fell forward next to his killer and lay still. "Much better than last time, Josh," I said. "Yes, much better," Maggie said. "Walking and talking, you had him going." "I felt good, confident, but it was a team effort," Joshua said. "I couldn't have done it without everyone giving it their all, including God." I felt something sharp against my cheek. With the tip of his sword, Justice guided my gaze to Apollo's stone penis, which lay in the dirt next to the two corpses.
"And do you want to explain how that happened?"
"The pox?" I ventured. "The pox can do that," Maggie said. "Can rot it right off." "How do you know that?" Joshua asked her.
"Just guessing. I'm sure glad that's all over." Justice let his sword fall to his side with a sigh. Go home, all of you, by order of Gaius Justus Gallicus, under-commander of the 6th Legion, commander of the 3rd and 4th centuries, under authority of Emperor Tiberius and the Roman Empire. You are all commanded to go home and perpetrate no weird shit until I have gotten well drunk and had several days to sleep it off.
So you're going to release Joseph? Maggie asked.
He's at the barracks. Go get him and take him home.
Amen, said Joshua.
Semper Fido, I added in Latin.
Joshua's little brother Judah, who was 7 by then, ran around the Roman barracks screaming, Let my people go! Let my people go! Until he was hoarse. Judah had decided early on that he was going to be Moses when he grew up. Only this time, Moses would get to enter the Promised Land on a pony. As it turned out, Joseph had been waiting for us at the Venus Gate. He looked a little confused, but otherwise unharmed.
They say that a dead man spoke, Joseph said.
Mary was ecstatic. Yes, and walked. He pointed out his murderer, then he died again.
Sorry, Joshua said. I tried to make him live on, but he only lasted a minute.
Joseph frowned. Did everyone see what you did, Joshua?
They didn't know it was my doing, but they saw it.
I distracted everyone with one of my excellent dirges, I said.
You can't risk yourself like that, Joseph said to Joshua. It's not the time yet.
If not to save my father, when?
I'm not your father, Joseph smiled.
Yes, you are, Joshua hung his head.
But I'm not the boss of you. Joseph's smile widened to a grin.
No, I guess not, Joshua said.
You needn't have worried, Joseph, I said. If the Romans had killed you, I would have taken good care of Mary and the children.
Maggie punched me in the arm.
Good to know, Joseph said.
On the road to Nazareth, I got to walk with Maggie a few paces behind Joseph and his family. Maggie's family was so distraught over what had happened to Jeremiah that they didn't even notice she wasn't with them.
He's much stronger than he was the last time, Maggie said.
Don't worry, he'll be a mess tomorrow.
Oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, my faith wasn't strong enough. Oh, I am not worthy of my task.
He'll be impossible to be around for a week or so. We'll be lucky if he stops praying long enough to eat.
You shouldn't make fun of him. He's trying very hard.
Easy for you to say. You won't have to hang out with the village idiot until Josh gets over this.
But aren't you touched by who he is? What he is?
What good would that do me?
If I was basking in the light of his holiness all the time, how would I take care of him? Who would do all of his lying and cheating for him?
Even Josh can't think about what he is all the time, Maggie.
I think about him all of the time. I pray for him all of the time.
Really? Do you ever pray for me?
I mentioned you in my prayers.
Once.
You did?
How?
I asked God to help you not to be such a doofus, so you could watch over Joshua.
You meant doofus in an attractive way, right?
Of course.